Today's reading is in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. He said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink?' Does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." In chapter 17, I think Jesus is still addressing issues of the heart, addressing whether one is truly dedicated or putting on a facade. And I think that the beginning of chapter 17 is aimed at the Pharisees. Now, there's others that would be affected by this teaching, but I think the Pharisees were a big one when he says, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come." We should never be the instrument of anyone else's sin. We should never do something that is going to cause somebody else to sin. We should have enough care for another person's soul that I'm looking to do everything I can to avoid such a situation. I don't know if that can be avoided 100%, but we're going to do the absolute best, and it's going to come down to an issue of the heart. If I don't want to be the cause of anyone else's sin, and if I don't want to lead anyone astray, then that's what's going to be in my heart. He says, for this person, it would be better if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea. In verse 3, he says, pay attention to yourselves. Pay attention to what's really in your heart and what you're doing, the way your actions affect others. And then he goes on to say, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. So now we've moved from being, you know, part of the situation of someone sinning to now saying, if you see someone sinning, again, you don't want them to be sinning. You don't want them to be separated from God. So you're going to rebuke him because you want them to repent. That's the whole purpose behind rebuking someone. Not to get to say, ha ha, I'm right, you're wrong. It's not for us to put anybody down, but it's to help someone repent and be in that relationship with God that we so desperately need. So if they sin, rebuke them. If they repent, forgive them. And if they forgive, they sin against you 7 times in a day, saying, I repent, then forgive them 7 times. In other words, there's no limit. You must freely forgive, just as we want God to freely forgive us. In verse 5, the apostles say, Lord, increase our faith. It might be something we need to be praying about on a regular basis. Increase our faith. But Jesus then goes on to say, if you had the faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, he's not being literal, but he's talking about the power of faith. He's talking about how we have to have to understand the power of faith and its role in our life with God. Verse 7, he says, "Which one of you having a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come recline at the table'?" In other words, "Come here and let me serve you." No, it's the other way around. The servant comes in and then you tell them, you know, "Dress properly, you know, clean yourself up and come serve me." And then when you've served me, then you get the reward of eating and drinking yourself. He says, does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? Well, you and I would think that would be a polite thing, but Jesus is talking about, you know, does he owe the servant something for simply doing what he was supposed to do? So he says, "You also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty.'" We only did what we were supposed to do. We didn't go above and beyond. We didn't do something extraordinary that makes God owe us something. No. God told us what to do, and we do it, and we're just servants doing what we're supposed to do. Then we have the story about these 10 lepers as he's going along between Samaria and Galilee. These 10 lepers that obviously know who he is, they call him by name. They say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They're asking for healing. They're asking for him to do something miraculously about their situation, a situation that left them as outcasts of society, unable to be with their family, unable to enjoy any sort of comfort because of the condition of their skin, and unable for them to go out and make a living and, you know, provide for themselves or a family, just like anybody else was able to do. They're out there as beggars. That's what they are. And they're begging him, "Have mercy on us. Restore to us some measure of life so that we can live normally." He tells them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." In other words, go and do what the law says to do in order to be declared clean so that you can come back into society. And they immediately start going. And it's at the point in which they start going that they realize they've been cleansed. Understand that they were not cleansed until they obeyed. Just like Naaman that was told to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He was not cleansed until that 7th time, until he fulfilled the whole obedience that he was told to do. That's when he was healed. We are not saved from our sins until the moment in which we are fully obedient to his will. Now, one of these 10, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and he came back to Jesus and he praised God with a loud voice. I've always likened this to our spiritual condition. We're spiritual lepers until God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And we need to likewise respond the way that this one leper did. We need to praise God for our salvation. We need to praise him for the cleansing. And if we don't, then that can be quite a problem for us. We don't realize what we've been given, and we may not stay faithful at all. We have to have that thankfulness in our hearts toward God for that great and wondrous gift which he has given to us. Now, verse 18, he says, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" So apparently one was a foreigner and the rest were Jews. And the Jews should have realized what they needed to do. But it was then the Samaritan that truly praised God for what he'd been given. And so Jesus tells him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Understand, it's not just faith that just healed him. It was faith that made him, number one, seek God for healing, and number two, obey God for what he had been given. You know, he says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." He turns to go. He obeyed. He wouldn't obey if he didn't have any faith whatsoever in the command or in the power behind the command. But he did. He did obey. And he praised God for that wondrous gift. Your faith can make you well, but only if you follow through with that faith. Only if it's real faith that produces obedience and gratitude. Today, let's pray that we have the humility to accept the role that God has assigned to us, to be like the servant that will simply do what he's asked. And let's also pray that we have the faith to obey all of His commands so that we can gratefully praise Him and thank Him for the salvation that He's given to us. Thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.